Hello, my name is Natalia and I'm interviewing my father, whose name is Peter. So, when did you come to the United States and where were you from originally?
I came to the States July of 1990 and I came from Poland, smaller town, not so small, of 100,000. And I came to the United States when I was 18 years old.
So, okay, thank you.
By the way, it was a direct flight Warsaw-Chicago.
Was it one way?
Yeah, and it was quite cultural shock because getting on a plane in Warsaw and landing in Chicago, I still remember to this day driving from O'Hare Airport, actually with my father's friend, and seeing all the cars and basically the buildings. My father's friend had to drop off some books at the Polish Museum of America, which is an older part of the Chicago city. That was really interesting. Well, I only knew United States from movies, so this was a quite experience and memorable. To this day, I remember certain things that I noticed. It's like the first impression or first, it was quite cultural shock. We actually lived on Logan Boulevard, which the street was really nice, but Logan Square was not a safe or good neighborhood. I still remember the first grocery store we went to, Los Caminos Supermercados. It was also basically quite an experience, cultural shock, just the people, language, and just everything else. So it was, very memorable for day.
Yeah.
And thereafter, again, I was 18, so I left my friends, I left my sister, the country I knew, and just landed in a totally strange land. Oh, and I forgot, I didn't speak English, maybe a few words.
Yeah, like hello, maybe?
Yeah, basic, very, very basic. I was not able to communicate, so...
All right, so did you hear about the formation of Al-Qaeda at all in their early years, since they were created around like the 80s? So the 90s, they were already pretty established.
Not really. I don't think Al-Qaeda was actually created in the 80s. They call them Mujahideens. They were the guerrilla fighters that fought the Russians in a war, Afghanistan-Russia, when Russia invaded Afghanistan. And how I learned about Mujahideens is from movie Rambo. It was a movie, it wasn't a documentary, but the U.S. was basically an ally with those guerrilla fighters, or they were supported by the United States. Which, this was between 80s and 90s. As a teenager, I did not really follow politics. I didn't really watch, I shouldn't say didn't watch news, but I didn't spend much time watching news and political events around the world. I heard of the Russia, since I was the Eastern Bloc child. I mean, we were exposed to some news, and Russia was in war with Afghanistan, so yes, I knew about the war or of the war, but and who they were fighting, but did not hear about Al-Qaeda and Mujahideens. I think in 90s, they I'm not sure how they transformed into Taliban, as we know now. And this was probably after, well, this happened after the end of the war with Russia, but still back then Soviet Union. And then, like I said, so Al-Qaeda did not really know much or anything about Al-Qaeda.
So did you have like an opinion about them at all? Like, what did you think of them? Like,
about who?
The Al-Qaeda, the groups that were fighting the Russians.
That wasn't Al-Qaeda, it was Mujahideens.
Yeah, the Mujahideens. Did you like have an opinion about them at all? Or like, because you didn't follow the news a lot, so like, but did you know about them? And if so, like, what were like?
I did not know much, again, because as a teenager, I was interested more in sports and motorcycles. And again, from the movie, and then later, after I came to the United States, in the first year, maybe second year being in the United States, I saw a movie, documentary, that was made by... again, my English was not so good, but I could understand. I just don't remember much. What I remember is there was an American journalist basically following Afghan guerrilla fighters and recording along the way. So a few particular moments that they were... actually, that journalist, I believe, died.
Oh, do you know how they died? Was it related to the new movie they were shooting?
Right, because many people died because they were fighting, actually. They didn't show any, they showed scenes of shootings and didn't really show, like, torn bodies and anything like that, but people died. And then I remember a Russian convoy being attacked by Mujahideen. So basically, they showed faces of Russian military soldiers, the fear of, particularly one soldier that got out of the vehicle. To this day, I remember, because in his face, and it was like this, his eyes and just fear, and he got shot. He knew he was gonna die, because the convoy was ambushed, and the soldiers, the Russian soldiers, were firing back, but they were outnumbered, and this one particular, probably more, he actually wanted to run away and got shot. So that was a brutal kind of war, and very real or realistic, or no, not realistic, but because it was a documentary, so
So moving forward in the year 2000, you're no longer really a teenager, you know. So what did you think of the election in the year 2000, where George Bush and Al Gore went up against each other?
I wasn't a teenager, but I was in my 20s, and I paid more attention to politics in this country and elections, of course, but I did not really, I can't remember exactly, but I know that these particular elections were controversial, because by popular vote, Al Gore won. But President Bush won the election because of electoral votes. But George Bush received 270 by one vote, I believe. George W. Bush Jr. Won by one electoral vote. But
so it was very
Al
close.
Gore, yeah. Al Gore won popular votes, basically by like more than 500,000. And Supreme Court decided that the electoral votes from Florida, which was that's where the controversy was, they basically, George Bush received electoral votes from Florida, and that's how he won. But again, that's why it was a lot of controversy during that year and those elections.
Yeah. So in paying attention more to politics, did you develop like any specific opinions about the two candidates that were running against each other?
Well, Al Gore was a Democrat, George Bush a Republican. I don't remember their political agendas, or Al Gore was probably more, I'm not sure if basically we would be in war with Iraq if Al Gore was elected as a president. Maybe a later time, but not during his candidacy or during his presidency, if Al Gore was elected. But George Bush won, and then what happened during his presidency led us to a war with Iraq. But I don't remember their agendas or their whether political agendas or what they were really, what they wanted, their vision for the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this was a while ago. And so basically Al Gore was like, in your eyes, more peaceful, like more anti-war?
Probably. I mean, he would, it seemed like it.
Yeah. So, knowing what happened shortly after the election, you know, the terrorist attacks, do you think this would have affected what people voted for? Or who people voted for?
I'm not sure if... I'm not sure if what happened would have anything... Or it would make a... Basically, people would decide... Well, if this happened before the elections, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, so people would have still, like, more, like, they would have voted basically the same as they did in 2000?
Most likely. I think so.
Yeah. So, personally, did you watch the towers fall on television, or were you doing something else while this was happening?
On September 11, I was actually at work, because this happened during daytime in the morning hours. And I remember the news really quickly. Of course, there were no smartphones, but the news really spread because the TV was on in a conference room. And then someone basically mentioned something, and so I was able to walk during my break and watch for 15 minutes. So when I saw it live on a TV, one tower was on fire, and people did not know what happened. There were different, not maybe confusing, but it wasn't clear really what happened. First news was that the World Trade Center, the one tower was on fire or caught on fire. Some basically was on fire. Then the plane hit the one tower, basically World Trade Center, one tower. And I think first news, like everyone, maybe not everyone, but most, or at least that's what it was, the news that was spread. It was just that this must have been an accident. No one knew really what happened, and it was like, because it was disbelief, how could a plane hit the tower? So it must have been an accident. So I saw that tower on fire, and there was a TV news helicopter circling the tower. There was more than one helicopter, but basically I remember seeing from the reporting or the news being reported from a helicopter and the tower being on fire with a huge opening on the side and the smoke coming out. So it was like they mentioned that the plane hit the tower, and then after I'm not sure how long, minutes or 30 minutes or 15 minutes or five, then actually it's like, okay, we're suspecting this is probably a terrorist attack. I'm not sure how long it took to get to this conclusion, but it wasn't, there were not, like, I remember seeing one tower being on fire, and then I had to go back to work.
Oh,
and then after, I forgot how long, well, it was not really that long, when the news coverage, like, just everyone was on TV, and then another plane hit another tower, and then it became obvious that this is a coordinated attack. It's a terrorist attack. Horrible. All the people died on the planes, and these planes departed from Boston, and they were on a way to, at least those two, I believe, they were on a way to LA. So they were full of fuel, because Boston is not too far from New York. So the impact was just unbelievable. All the fuel from the airplanes and the speed of the airplanes, they just basically disintegrated when they hit the tower.
Oh, terrible.
So the fuel, which is a jet fuel, highly flammable, exploded and caught on, basically it was just the I forget how many stories instantly were on fire, and people from the I forgot how many, like 80 stories up, and they were totally cut off from the floors under.
They couldn't escape.
They were they were trapped, basically. People were jumping from the top floors because they, I guess, rather die instantly than burn to death. They were completely cut off. There are interviews, I believe, probably there are some interviews of people who survived, and they describe how they were trying to get to the, not to the elevators, but walk or run down the stairs, because the walls opened. There were basically elevator shafts exposed, and 70 stories down, basically openings that yeah, it was just chaos and but this is like later on when they showed more news and interviewed more people. But at that time, on that day, after the second tower was hit by a plane, then became obvious that that was a terrorist. And then another plane, the passengers fought the terrorists on the plane that fell in Pennsylvania.
Oh yes, that one was on its way to the Pentagon?
No, that was, I believe, the White House. And
oh,
there was another plane that hit Pentagon, but it fell, I forget how many yards before, it hit the ground before it hit the building. It caused damage to the building, but it didn't hit the building directly, because Pentagon is not a tall building.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it would be a lot of land to cover.
But the plane that fell in Pennsylvania, I forget how it was determined that there were passengers that fought the terrorists on the plane. The one that fell in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. So did you know anyone at work that was maybe personally affected, and maybe they had family or friends or close ones that were in the towers or et cetera?
No. Not really, at least I don't remember, or maybe I remember at work there was an article. This was someone's child, which he was already adult. I think early 20s. He had an internship in I don't remember specifics, but while escaping, I think he broke his leg or foot, and then I'm trying to remember because he fell from it just was, as we can imagine, chaos, and then he was able to leave, I forget which tower, before it collapsed. So he survived. It was some broken bone or something, and but he was able to survive. Now, my mom's friend's daughter, she was going to have an internship within like few months. She was going to have an internship in one of the towers, but this didn't happen. So luckily she never made it there, and she was not there, especially on a day off. So I knew people who were either going to be there or they were there, but not directly. I didn't know anyone directly that was affected.
Yeah, so thank goodness she never went there, you know, that would have been catastrophic. Yeah, so how did people feel about Bush's response to the terrorist attacks? Like, did he have support for what he was doing, or was it like, did people disapprove?
He definitely wanted to respond to this terrorist attack, and I'm not sure, I don't remember how much support he had at that time, but then later it was revealed, because most or all people involved in this attack, meaning the terrorists, were Saudis. They were not Iraqis, they were not Iranians, they were not from any other countries. But he suspected that, I forget the reasons why he wanted to basically invade Iraq. And the motives, I mean, obviously as a response to this terrorist attack, but to me it wasn't clear, or is not clear, why he decided to actually invade Iraq as a response to this attack, because he had to justify it. There was a process before he invaded Iraq. It was a disapproval, if I remember, by Germany opposed, France opposed, many European countries opposed. They were not really, they were allies with the United States, but they just opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the response, I'm not sure why Iraq was actually attacked.
So
where terrorists were from different country.
Yeah, that doesn't really make much sense. So do you remember like the aftermath, like right after the Twin Towers fell and all that stuff with the Pentagon? Like, do you remember how it was like to see like a clear sky, like the air traffic being halted completely for 2 days?
I still remember. It was living in the city of Chicago, where commercial airplanes basically take off and land every minute at the O'Hare Airport. Is one of the busiest in the United, if at that time maybe the busiest in the United States, and then suddenly seeing clear skies, there's just not one airplane. Kind of surreal. Like I remember, it was beautiful. I mean, it just we didn't live close to the airport, but seeing clear skies and not seeing any planes, it was just not kind of not real. Like, again, I didn't pay much attention to the sky, but I remember it was just, I wouldn't say a feeling, basically like living in a different, or maybe it was a, not a reminder, but kind of like how people lived when there were no, there was no air transportation, airplane transportation or traffic at all. Skies looked very different.
Probably, yeah. So, also, since I know that you did a little bit of airplane travel in your life, how did you feel about the new safety precautions put into place in airports as a result of the terrorist attacks?
Annoying, because suddenly from just going through a normal airport security check and it became I mean that's where the TSA Transportation Security Agency became actually President Bush founded it, and it was at the beginning I remember, and maybe not chaotic, but they would put luggage through super powerful scanners, and they were actually at the, like, at least I can say at the Terminal 5 International Terminal at O'Hare Airport, they had those not anywhere in the back, they were kind of in front, and there was a personnel basically opening luggages in front, like where people were waiting in lines, and they were like standing next to basically sectioned off areas, but where passengers were checking in. Every piece of luggage was thoroughly checked, which took forever, and it was just such a nuisance to just, because it took a long time, and that they were not really organized. If there was any, not really suspicion, but it was a heavier piece of luggage, they would take it to a different X-ray machine, and they would run it through, and then you could actually check in the luggage. Just a thorough, it's very serious. I mean, flying even, and this is not only in the United States airports, worldwide, basically the way people not travel maybe, but just going through airports, it changed forever. Flying back from Poland, for instance, where before I was not asked many questions, now I had something in a carry-on that didn't potentially, it wouldn't cause any harm, but I was still questioned, like, why am I carrying it or bringing it on board or have it in the carry-on luggage? So it's just, it became... I understood, and I understand the, you know, the I understand the importance, the safety and security, but at the same time, the way TSA, the many members, or even different airports around the world, they were not trained properly to handle so many people and checking so thoroughly everyone on every luggage, etc., etc.
So they were all like kind of disorganized, they just didn't know what they were
disorganized,
doing.
Disorganized, but it took many changes from between then and now, and now things are the technology, the equipment, the personnel, it everyone's being scanned and checked, and but it goes a lot different, or it is a lot different than it used to be right at the beginning, the first months after the September 11.
Mm-hmm. And also, speaking of airplanes and the attacks, was there any anxiety, like, after the attacks happened, like, on airplanes? Did people, like, kind of fear going on airplanes more? Or did you notice that at all? Or
I'm sure there was an anxiety. I did not think much about it getting on the plane, but after an event like this, it's difficult not to think about. There's always in the back of the mind, like some things like this can happen.
Yeah.
Because then, not long after, I forgot how many years or there was someone who tried to detonate an explosive that was in a shoe sole, yes, and this was not from the United States, this was in Europe, and also that's why the liquid, like we were not able to bring a bottle of water on a plane or only 5 ounces, because any type of liquid, just basically things have evolved. The travel looked, air travel looked very different pre or before 9/11. Post 9/11, like I said before, things have changed forever.
Mm-hmm. So now moving on to the more like militaristic side of things. So during all those years that America fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, because it like indirectly declared war on it, technically didn't, did people like wish for the troops to come home, or was it more like they wanted them there to fight them off, or what was it like?
I think in the United States, the country was divided. There were many protests at the big when United States invaded Iraq. A Lakeshore Drive, actually, I think was blocked because there were so many people protesting against the war. They were against the war. And first Iraq, then Afghanistan. Now we know that, I'm not sure, it's not up to me. Maybe there are experts and critics that can analyze the 20 years that soldiers, the military was stationed. Actually, in Iraq, they still have military bases. But I wouldn't consider it success. Again, the wars were very long. The beginning of first years were basically people were in constant threat, or they felt like the terrorist attack may happen again. It was real because the troops, then after Iraq, there was a new government, and there were still fighting and battles, but it was just friendlier, if I can say friendlier environment maybe. So United States, but the first few years of U.S. military in Afghanistan and Iraq, here in the United States, there was a fear of terror attack constantly. So again, all these, let's just fast forwarding all these years in those countries like Afghanistan, what we just saw recent years, after 20 years in Afghanistan and spending trillions of dollars on that war, eliminating or trying to eliminate Taliban, and basically replaced it with Taliban, because Taliban is back. So how can we say it was a success? And Taliban, in my opinion, is just not a good form of a government that in any country, because too radical. I mean, they're against women having education and basic rights. There were some cars that exploded in front of schools. There were only for girls. Many girls died. Not one, but two, I think, attacks like this, etc., making, not expanding on this, I think it was an actual unnecessary war or wars that could have been handled differently.
Yes. So you mentioned to me before that you had a friend in the military. So what happened to him, and do you still keep in contact?
Yes, he was sent to... There was no talk or mention, or no one knew that the United States is going to go to war, but he joined military. He was actually sent to Italy, and that was one of the first units that were being sent to Iraq. He was injured, then sent out to, I believe, Germany or Italy, and then he went back because there was a sense of, like, commitment and camaraderie, because he left his friends there fighting, so he wanted to return to fight.
Did he make it out alive?
Yes.
Oh, is he doing well right now?
Yeah.
So also during the war, when news finally spread about the terrorist organization responsible for all these attacks and consequentially all these changes, so did you find out anything more about Al-Qaeda and, like, their leader Osama bin Laden?
So we started a conversation, or one of the questions was, did I know anything about Al-Qaeda, which I didn't hear anything about Al-Qaeda in when I was in Poland, or even after I arrived to the United States. I heard of Afghanistan, Russia invaded Afghanistan, and Mujahideen's fighting, or Soviet Union back then. Nothing about Al-Qaeda, but after September 11 and all the news and coverage and the war in Iraq, which, by the way, was very brutal. I've seen pictures, never seen in the United States. I read articles and seen magazines in Europe where actually they showed very graphic images of the war in Iraq, babies, children with torn bodies, legs, arms just ripped. When I saw those pictures, like, oh my gosh, it's very different visual of what the war is than in the United States. That's on a side note, but about Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, yes, then more and more, because there were more articles, more news, so it was easier to find out information. Then, of course, the internet and was helpful with just finding out more, and I took more interest. And so Osama bin Laden was a leader of Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda was a terrorist organization which United States wanted to eliminate. And interestingly, Al-Qaeda was formed or trained by CIA at some point to fight the Russians, or helping them at least. And then in turn, I became US enemy. But Osama bin Laden hiding in many places, I'm assuming, but finally, like, hunted down, and I'm sure there was many months of intelligence and all kinds of intel and planning done before the assassination. But so he was located. I'm not sure how, and but it was executed perfectly. I mean, not really perfectly, because there was a helicopter, stealth helicopter, that crashed. And I'm not sure if they destroyed. I think they destroyed part of it, but part of it was recovered, because that kind of military technology is, I remember it's from news, highly, like, protected, because it's very classified? Sophisticated, very sophisticated, and they don't want foreign governments basically to get their hands on it, because they can find out, learn their technology, and this was like a super, at that time at least, high-tech equipment that was used to, they actually flew into airspace of a foreign country being unnoticed. All radars or nothing detected them. They went in, they executed, or whatever the military terms are, killed Bin Laden, and they left. Without really, it was some upset on the Pakistan's government, and so because they were their airspace was basically invaded, but they got over it.
Yeah. So honestly, did people expect him to die? I mean, after so many years, you know, Osama bin Laden.
I'm not sure that made much. I mean, he was a U.S. enemy number one, I think. And if he, I'm not sure if this made, well, yeah, I think it made a difference because, but Al-Qaeda, I'm not sure like how everything evolved and to what. Because now, then we had ISIS, we still have Taliban, and we have many organizations in the Middle Eastern world that are not big fan of the United States. Then, then we know what happened in Libya, Egypt, Tunisia. They're just pro-US, and there's many Middle Eastern, maybe not countries, but people that are really, they're not, they don't like United States, they don't like America, and their foreign policies, especially towards that region.
So they don't, there's just really never going to be like a real conclusion to this, because there's always going to be an organization that's anti-US, and especially because even though they killed
Osama
bin Laden, they sort of never really, that wasn't really a conclusion to the fighting, was it?
In my opinion, U.S., the war in Iraq was actually, some say, illegal because there was not a formal, the war was not declared.
Yes.
And many countries opposed the war. And I think in the United States, actually, there's a special, basically, I mean, the war was not legal. It was just the invasion, which many people died. Again, I think it was waste of money, resources, and
people.
Human life.
Yeah.
In the United States, sacrifice and it really turned out to be. I'm not sure if we can how success can be measured. If it's any better than before, but I don't think it's really has changed much in terms of like the government actually asked the United States to leave Iraq. So is it pro-United States? I don't think so. Again, the terrorists were not from Iraq, and there are many enemies in that region. Enemies meaning people that don't like United States, whether it's Iraq or other countries in that region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for speaking with me about this today. This was very insightful. So.
On a side note, an interesting fact that actually about the war in Iraq, that Saddam Hussein was a spy that had to. He fled Iraq because he would be either put in jail or killed. I forget which country, maybe in Iran. And actually, United States helped him. And thanks to the United States, I think he became president of Iraq in the 70s. So then he became a dictator, but I'm not sure why United States then 20 years later called him a dictator and wanted to oust him, where they put him in the office in the first, or helped him to be in the office in the first place. But that's like a I think interesting fact.
So yes, thank you. So
we can go on for another
30 minutes. I don't have that much time.